Can you hear all that noise at your local branch? Librarians are shouting about new restrictions on some ebooks. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart in for Molly Wood. ''94% of libraries offer ebooks to borrowers. But now, Macmillan, one of the five biggest book publishers in the US, says it's going to limit each library to just one copy for the first 8 weeks after publication. So get ready for longer waits to borrow them. Libraries and their users are protesting the move. When I last checked, nearly 200,000 people had signed an online petition against it. Jessamine West is a librarian in Vermont. She says the move is reflective of a lot of upheaval in the book world right now.
I think publishers are wondering what to do about their revenue model as more and more people go many more different places for content than just the bookstore. Amazon encourages them to lower their prices and lower their prices because they're kind of the 800-pound gorilla in this whole thing. And so they're looking at ways they can sort of recoup some of the money they lose. And in many ways, some publishers look at libraries as if we're sort of taking money from them by lending the books instead of making people buy them. And so Macmillan is basically taking a risk that if they enforce this artificial scarcity by not letting libraries lend their books, more people will go out and buy their books.
Macmillan's CEO has said in interviews that the ebook marketplace is kind of like that for motion pictures, in that new releases have all this excitement around them for the first few weeks, and that's when they make most of their money through sales, and they need that money to reinvest in new ebooks and new authors and illustrators and the whole ecosystem. Isn't that fair?
Libraries are willing to pay for these books. I don't understand why they are looking to libraries and saying, oh, well, we know you want to buy dozens, if not hundreds of copies of these books right after they come out. But instead, we think we're going to put the squeeze on your patrons. And in fact, one of our sources of free advertising now that there's fewer bookstores, and not take your money in order to try to make it this other way.
Can you suggest a change that would keep everybody happy, that would give libraries enough copies of the books, but also keep publishers happy?
I don't understand what the problem was originally. Sell books to libraries. They are free advertising. Macmillan is trying to get patrons to buy books from them directly. And I actually, number one, don't think it's going to work out that way for them. And number two, think it puts a squeeze specifically on more disadvantaged patrons in libraries, people who maybe can't read a print book for various reasons. Those people are not necessarily going to be the people that are going to go and purchase those books. And so what it's really doing is denying certain readerships access to their books who would otherwise be happy to have them through the library, who would be happy to pay for them.
And just give us an idea of how important a publisher Macmillan is. I mean, how much will patrons of a library feel this change?
Well, it's going to be really interesting. Right now, libraries are just kind of sitting and waiting. This thing, the embargo basically went into effect a week ago. Some major library systems, King County notably in Washington State, has decided to just not purchase Macmillan ebooks because they're grumpy about this, and I don't blame them. But we're not sure. I think if you asked most patrons, you know, what does Macmillan publish? Who are their authors? They wouldn't necessarily know, and it puts libraries in this really awkward position of having to explain this relatively complicated situation about the marketplace to patrons who really just want a good book. I'm hoping libraries can react, especially by buying more print materials, but we're really not sure how it's going to affect, you know, readership and attitude towards Macmillan or the other publishers or ebooks generally until we see how this plays out.
Do you think there's a chance here that Macmillan might end up backpedaling on this?
I do. I think it's entirely possible. Sargent, the CEO of Macmillan, was recently speaking at a meeting of the heads of state libraries. Like, every state has a state library or department of libraries within the state. And the heads of those state libraries are kind of grumpy about this, too. I mean, really what it's about is access, right? And this is withholding access from the public in a general sense. And so he kind of trotted out his old, like, this is why it's a better deal. And we're totally trying to help libraries. And, you know, that first copy we let you have is cheap and it doesn't expire. So that's super cool. Like, kind of restating his statement. And I think the state librarians in many cases weren't having it. They pushed back in their kind of friendly, mannerly way. And Sargent did kind of open the door for well, maybe this isn't the right way to do things, which is not anything we've heard him say previously. And so I see that as kind of a ray of hope. They basically based this embargo on kind of an experiment they did with one of their imprints, which was Tor Books. They tried a smaller embargo as kind of a test. But Tor Books also publishes a lot of science fiction fantasy. They have a rabid fan base who maybe would purchase those books out if they couldn't borrow them at the library. But realistically, I don't think that's going to happen for the rest of Macmillan's front list. And so I think what we're hoping is this also embargo experiment will not go the way they want. And maybe they can sort of dial it back to having something that's more in line with the way other publishers appear to be making this happen and also making it work for them from a business perspective. So it'll work for us from a library perspective.
And you call this an experiment. Do you think we're likely to see more of these types of conflicts as ebooks perhaps become more and more important and you know, more people use them as a way of accessing literature?
Well, it's funny, actually. The ebook readership in many ways, we think statistically, is kind of plateaued, that now we're at a sort of a stasis where people are reading print books. Millennials love print books, right? And we're also seeing people reading ebooks. Ebooks definitely have some advantages over print books, but there's people who like to read print. I think we are going to see many publishers, especially the Big Five publishers, continue to try and tweak how they make ebooks available to libraries, because it's one of the more flexible things in your revenue stream that you can adjust. But I do think we'll see people trying to form, you know, like Penguin, Random House, effective, useful partnerships for libraries. As I said before, with bookstores dwindling and print books still popular and ebooks continuing to be popular, libraries are one of the places people get exposed to new books and new authors, and it's free advertising for publishers. And I think we can find symbiotic ways to move forward with this so that people can get the ebooks they want, the print books they want, and just get access to the information they want and the information they need.
Jessamine West is a librarian and community technologist, so she helps people get over the so-called digital divide. Macmillan pointed us towards a letter its CEO has sent to libraries, which says, "We are not trying to hurt libraries, but we are trying to balance the needs of the system in a new and complex world." Now for some related links. The distinction between ebooks and physical books for libraries is fascinating. Libraries must pay a premium to buy an ebook, so they're often around $60 or more, and then the number of loans they can make is limited, so these books expire and libraries have to repurchase them. A librarian at Cheshire Public Library in Connecticut's written a great explainer, which we'll link you to. It's titled, "Why Do I Have to Wait So Long for Ebooks?" But it also delves into the restrictions set by each of the Big Five publishers. Wired looks at the fallout of the Microsoft bookstore closing earlier this year. Customers' libraries of books that they might have thought that they purchased, but in reality they really only had a license for, simply disappeared. And this whole issue around digital rights management and the fear of piracy if files aren't protected reminds me of the debates around digital music when that started really taking off. Apple's iTunes was already a major player about a decade ago, thanks to the popularity of the iPod. But you never really knew if you could move a music file to a different device or to your computer and still expect it to work. And then in January 2009, Apple announced it was going to remove copyright restrictions on all songs with the backing of the music labels. And the New York Times had all the details at the time. Today, the debate has moved on to streaming and things like artist payments, and the digital rights conversation, while it hasn't exactly been muted, it's certainly more muffled. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.